we are live, Stranded, the sports podcast. That's Jack O'Brien, our live underwater correspondent. We're back, and it's Scoragami tonight. This combination of people has never been on the show by themselves before. Jack?
Okay, no, it hasn't. This is a new setup. We've never had these three together before.
You're right.
It's me, Jack, Nick, and Connor and Ray are absent tonight, so it's just us and Gallo.
See, he intros Connor and Ray before he intros me. yeah.
I have to stick with the program.
Is there any combinations left? There's got it. There's a couple left.
Me, Ray, Connor. Me, Ray, you.
Yeah. I don't think I've only missed one show, I think. Yeah. Two. Because I had to leave for intramurals last year.
Well, you were still on the show.
But I was still present.
But we did have Nick and Tyler the only time that's been true.
Jack's attendance has been perfect.
No, yeah. I'm really batting 1,000 as far as showing.
I have missed two shows this year.
You know what? But you were playing a real sport. We played a real sport on Friday.
Yes.
We're going to tell you how that went at the end of the show because I'm not starting off with giving you your credit, Kyle. So that's going to wait. Hear all about the Strandable at the latter half of the show. Speaking of shows, big show planned. We have QB grades so far for some of the big names in the NFL. We're going to talk about our current MVPs. Then we'll talk about the Steelers for a little bit, especially the injury to Rudolph. Is Juju to blame? MLB playoffs, a hot commodity right now. The Dodgers and
Nationals,
that's the team.
3-0 is the score in that game right now.
They're playing right now. The Cardinals absolutely shellacked the Braves earlier today. Then
great
we have
word.
Some NHL talk. Then our favorite segments such as the trivia stuff. Do you like trivia? Head over to our YouTube channel, Stranded Sports Head-to-Head. H-E-D-D is how that is spelled.
Great pun.
Gallo and Connor battled in sports trivia. See who won. Next week it'll be
who
Jack.
Won?
Maybe
who
Ray.
Won? We
You'll
don't
have
know.
To watch
you
to
gotta
find
watch
out.
That
Gallo
shit.
Gallo doesn't even know, and he was there.
Yeah.
I gotta know, Nick. Did Connor call in his mid-show trivia today?
No.
Okay, so that will not be a
the
segment.
The only
today.
Thing, the only segment we're doing is who are you people?
Incredible.
And then you know what? This is gonna be a good show. Thanks for staying here. Thanks for listening. Stranded Sports, we're happy to have you along. And follow us on social media at Stranded_Sports on Twitter and Stranded Sports on Instagram. And without any further ado, I think it's time to finally start talking sports 2.5 minutes into the show.
Let's do it.
So, QB grades. We have...
Do we want to go from the bottom of the list to the top? Or do we want to start at the top and go down?
Let's
what
go
order
to the,
do we want to introduce
let's
these?
Let's be a little controversial here.
All right, so let's start in the middle.
Let's start...
Should we start with the guy everyone's talking about this week?
No, Baker?
Yeah.
No, we're going to put him at the end.
All right, okay.
Let's go from the bottom to the top, but skip Mayfield and make him last.
So Mayfield's good. Okay. So first one up, Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, baby.
What'd you give him, Nick?
I gave him a C plus.
I gave him just a C, just C.
You know, I gave him a B because he's done pretty well with what he's had out there, but I really don't have anything behind that.
I think they need weapons around him, but I think... I mean, in terms of passing yards per game, he's 18th right now. He does have, if I'm reading this correct, 5 touchdowns to 7 interceptions, which obviously not ideal by any stretch of the imagination. But his percentage in terms of completions is about 63%.
No, yeah.
Just under. I mean, he's not great, but he's shown.
Well, no, and this is kind of, sorry to cut you off, but this is kind of like why I gave him the C. What he's expected to pull off, he's pulled off.
And that's why.
Because you look at the 4 wins.
Right.
Jets, Giants, Bengals, Titans. What's the 1 loss? Patriots.
They could have won that game.
And they could have won that game.
And that was a big factor. I know that wasn't due to him, really, because he also got hurt that game, I believe.
No, yeah, he did. He got his nut knocked.
I like it. I like Josh Allen. I think he's shown that once he gets some weapons, I think he's going to be a very capable quarterback in this league. And given what he has, I think he's doing a decent job right now. C-plus is what I'm going to give him.
No, yeah. I'm going to hang with a C because I want to see him. I mean, they have the Dolphins next. Like, they have the Dolphins this upcoming week. The Eagles is going to be an interesting game because that's one where he's going to have to battle. I don't know.
Because the Dolphins play the Redskins this week.
Okay, then, yeah, this is the Bills are on a bye then. I'm just going
Yeah, Bills are on a bye.
Bills are on a bye.
Gallo, you gave him a B? What went into that? Just a big Josh Allen guy?
Yeah. I mean, from what I've seen, he's done
second in his division. He's got a 4-1 record, but
he's
done
as well.
I want to see him play a
team. Yeah, he's done as well as he could do with the weapons that he does have. So I think that's and you can't knock him for that at all.
Gallo's echoing what I said. I'm glad we're on the same page.
Oh yeah,
Gallo,
I didn't know that.
Here to talk baseball and hockey, but look at him dipping his feet into the
football. I didn't know
enough to cut my weight in football. It's not like I know nothing about football.
And that's how I feel about hockey until I met Jack and Ray, and they started acting like I was an idiot.
That never happened.
Jacoby Brissett, he got a bunch of B's from all of us. What went into your opinion on that, Jack O'Brien?
I kind of want to bump it up to a B+, but I think that's still just like Sunday Night Football hangover talking.
Right.
Because
that was a low-scoring game as well.
I know, but, I mean, shit. Pat McAfee went out and was bold enough to say that the Indianapolis Colts can win the Super Bowl this
year. I think
that's
in large part to the defense.
Yeah, I do too, because I think they've got a really good secondary.
I do as well.
I think their defense can fend for itself. They finally drafted a decent lineman in Quentin Nelson, who is a man's man. Holy shit, can he murder people and then it's like, and then just be totally cool with it. Like, he doesn't like doesn't even make a big deal out of just absolutely dominating other 300-pound grown men on, you know, every week. It's ridiculous. He just pushes people around like they're toddlers. And Jacoby Brissett's not a bad quarterback.
No, no.
You know, I'm chewing gummy bears as I'm talking right now. But
I think
like,
everyone can hear that now.
No, yeah.
We're
Jacoby Brissett,
out here.
212 yards a game. Obviously, that's nothing to turn your head at. Also, but he's doing what he needs to do, I think. You know, guys like T.Y. Hilton, I believe, injured. You know, I'm not sure if he came back last week. I missed the game Monday night.
I think he came back.
But I really got swamped with school this week, so bear with me if I'm saying things that are a bit inaccurate at the moment. Jacoby Brissett, 6.4 yards per attempt, basically. That's towards the bottom of the top 25 quarterbacks. I mean, he's throwing the short passes is what you would take from that number, and I think that's what he needs to do right now, just find the open guy as quickly as possible and let the people around him make plays. In addition to that, he has 10 touchdowns to 3 interceptions, which obviously is very impressive, but I think given all the circumstances around him, he's done what he needs to do to get this team some wins.
Well, no, and what you're expecting out of the guy who's just stepping in for Andrew Luck, I think he's doing a lot better than people thought he would.
Absolutely.
Because they set the bar pretty fucking low for him, and I think they kind of lowballed him there. I don't think they really gave him credit because he's not abysmally bad. He's never been like abysmally bad. But people are like, oh, the Colts are kind of done. Connor was the guy to come in and say
we did vote 3-1 in favor that he would have a bad season. I wouldn't say he's having a great season, but he's doing what he needs
better
to
than
do.
Better than a lot of people thought, including most of us. But no, I think Jacoby Brissett's putting together a fine little season, a little above average. I'd say that's where I throw the B there as well.
Then we have Thomas Brady. I gave him a B. Jack, you gave him a C.
Yeah.
Gallo gave him an A, which probably is what we should have given him. But
probably. Well, I think like I don't want to be the guy who's starting to say that he's a system quarterback. It's more of the same this year, honestly. His completion percentage this year is 63. His completion percentage over his entire career is 64. He's got 1,400 yards, 10 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. Granted, his defense bailed him out against Buffalo. I mean, that was kind of a scary game for them. But it's not like it's anything different. It's more just throwing to guys who are very wide open. Because that's the system they run, and it works, and they win.
Right.
And it's what they do.
That's why I gave him a B. It's nothing exceptional. He's just doing what he's always done.
I probably should have bumped it.
I don't want to say normal numbers, but he has Tom Brady-esque numbers right now.
This
is what he's always done.
It's more of the same.
Exactly.
And so, like, I'm not seeing any, like, again, I'm not looking for improvements. I'm just saying it's nothing like extraordinary. I'm not going to be surprised by how he's playing.
And
that's kind of why I gave him the C. It's not that I'm saying
I gave him a B because Tom Brady this year, in my opinion, has not taken over a game. The guys I've given A's on this list that we'll get to, they have the ability to take over the game and single-handedly lead that offense. Tom Brady, well, obviously he's a leader. Obviously he's, you know, the veteran of that locker room, motivates guys, I would be sure of. I don't feel like Tom Brady's the guy that goes out there and takes over. I think a lot of that's the receivers, the guy he's thrown it to, you know, doing things with what routes they're running, where they're getting the ball, they're getting yards after, you know, making the reception. I think that's where a bulk of the Patriots' offense comes in, and Tom Brady's just the facilitator. And that's nothing to take away from Tom Brady. I just don't think he's had a moment, at least yet this year, where he takes over the game and just goes down the field, you know, pinpoint accuracy, knocking guys down, you know, moving the ball right down the field and win. And granted, they haven't had any real competition aside from the Bills game, in my opinion.
Yeah, but also, I mean, again, more of where the C lies is that, again, it's more of the same. I'm not seeing anything where I'd give them an A. I'd give the team an A. I'd give the Patriots as a complete team an overall A.
Do you think they're better than last year?
I think it's the same. I don't see any glaringly obvious differences between them last year and this year. Granted, I don't watch a lot of Patriots games. I don't really pay attention to the team pretty, like, you know, closely. But I know enough to where I can say that it's more of the same from Tom Brady. It's the same. It's like more of the same of what I've seen the last 5 years from Tom Brady. I don't think there's a, like, much of a difference in, like, in just checking and hearing there. You know, like, oh, Brady's, you know, Brady make, like, what, 4 or 5 really good throws a game. But that's really it. And that's kind of what you see in the last, I don't want to say 5 years. Maybe I'm overshooting that. I'd say like 2 or 3.
That's fair. Gal, do you have anything to add about Thomas?
Yeah. Really liked Tom Brady. Yeah.
You're right.
Just
he gave him an A, though, so I wanted to
know. He gave him an A, but that's because it's. I think it's just really more the namesake there.
I think, yeah, well, I mean, he's done it. He's done, not to cut Gallo off. He's done. Oh, boy, now we got an actor in the studio. He's done what we're used to him doing. He hasn't done anything above the call, and that's why I gave him a B. Because Tom Brady doing what he normally does is an A-caliber player. That's why he's the best quarterback of all time. Don't you dare say it was Joe Montana.
He wins.
He does what he needs to do. He hasn't done anything a step above what he normally does, and that's why I gave him a B.
Again, more of the same. I'll probably say about
to take away from him.
Probably said about 9 times, but more of the same. Honestly, I think we just spent too much time breaking down Tom Brady right now because how many other people have done this over the last 10 years?
We're gonna jump to Lamar Jackson, who I gave a B- and Jack gave a C.
Again, I kind of want to bump it up to a B-. I didn't want to put it in the same grade though, but yeah, I think my opinion on this, giving him a C and yours giving him a B-, is he looked really good in the beginning of the season.
Right.
Surprised a lot of people. Didn't really play that many good teams, though, in those games. I mean, I'm not saying the Steelers' defense is, like, really good. They're third in turnover differential.
They picked him off, what, 2 or 3 times?
Mm-hmm. They're third in turnover differential, I think, with +5. I didn't think that game would be as close as it was going to be honest. Coming into that, I'm thinking, oh, you know, the Browns.
He did get gypped in an interception, the one that Bush.
Yeah, I don't, dude. I'm like, I love Devin Bush. I don't know if that was a catch.
You don't say.
I don't think it was. I don't think they should have given it. I can't believe did they review that shit?
Yeah.
I can't believe they reviewed that.
The original call had a lot to do with what they called.
Yeah, because you have to overturn it. But then again, like, he just kind of like trapped the top of the ball in, like, his forearm and his bicep, and, like, the ball clearly makes contact with the ground. But if you say he secured it, whatever, you know, that's the second pick, whatever.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm waiting for Lamar Jackson to do what he did in the first 2-3 weeks against – and, like, he looked good against Kansas City.
He did.
Everyone said
he's going to get exposed, and he didn't.
No, I know.
But you have to look. But they, like, played the
are
Dolphins.
Are the Steelers going to be the ones that expose him?
They played the Dolphins. They played the Cardinals to kick off the season. Then he played the Chiefs, and they lost, but he held his own. I think the first real game where I factored in him being a B-plus was the Browns game.
Yeah, I'd say that too, because not saying – I mean, you just had who was it on Monday? The 49ers just tore apart the Browns' defense.
And everyone thought they were pretenders too.
Yeah. But I don't know. I want to see Lamar Jackson like win a game and look as good as he did against Kansas City against a team that's worth it. Because the Steelers are not a team that's worth it. I'm surprised. Again, I'm super surprised that game went to overtime. I can't believe it went that far. And we'll get more into that later.
And Jackson did have 66 yards on the ground and 247 in the air. Mm-hmm. But he had 2 interceptions.
And that's what's going to set you back when the Steelers, have a turnover and actually make something out of it. Granted, you know,
that different doesn't happen much.
Different from when San Francisco gives you the ball 5 times in a game and you do nothing with every single one of them.
I don't want to think about that game anymore.
I don't either. But, yeah, I'd say C, B minus. That's the range right now.
I think, and again, Lamar Jackson, I think, has blown everybody's, you know, projections of him out of the water.
No, I know he's blowing my projections
out of the
water. Again,
we're 5 games into the season right now, and I think we're going to do this again. at some other point in the season do this where everyone's here, where we sit down and do this. But I think that the sample size of the teams he's played is not really good. He played two very subpar teams. He played one of the best teams in the league and held his own. But then he played the Browns and had a very iffy game, in my opinion, compared to what he did earlier, at least. And then he played the Steelers and didn't really do anything incredible against them.
Spectacular.
He did a decent job.
And I was waiting for Lamar Jackson to do something spectacular again. I'm waiting to see a tweet from the NFL like, oh my, Lamar Jackson. And it's like him burning three guys and then beating everyone in the secondary to like waltz in at Heinz Field. But that never happened.
Right. So that brings us to Patrick Mahomes.
Who gets an A.
Who obviously gets an A. Just 11 touchdowns.
When he scrambled from three guys, ran around and like got right to the line and then fired it into the end zone for like a 27-yard touchdown. You saw like four or five tweets just like immediately be like, Patrick Mahomes is like a real life cheat code. And it's like, yeah, that one that gets thrown around a lot as a joke, but this is like legitimate. He's good for like three of those like how did that fucking happen moments.
A game.
When he what? Fires it down the right sideline. Who was it? Just running, two defenders on him, third one coming in to help, and it lands right in his chest. All he had to do was just make a basket with his arms and hands, and it fell right in there.
Right.
It's just, again, how has that happened? The guy was triple covered. But Mahomes dropped it literally right in front of his face. It looked like that. You ever see the Larry Fitzgerald catch where he's looking over his back? Yeah. It looked exactly.
Numerous times.
It's like Larry. It's like Larry Fitz-esque, where it just falls right in your chest. You know.
Right.
It's the shit like that. And also, like, I saw another one be like, imagine being a defensive coordinator prepping for this guy for an entire week just for him to throw like four no look passes and then like, you know, kick the field goal himself.
Right.
Like, you can't prepare for this guy. That's the craziest thing about him. He's mind-boggling to try and prepare against. That's why he gets the A for me. It's just the fact no one's figured him out yet. Granted, they lost, but he still played out. He still played great. And again, we've been saying that the Chiefs' defense needs work and that it's not perfect. So, I mean, that's kind of evident of that. But Mahomes has been he's been phenomenal so far this year. And he even got hit where he was limping for like two plays and he didn't lose a step.
Right, and that was Jacksonville Week One, and he looked phenomenal still.
Well, no, he got hit on Sunday.
Was that Sunday?
Yeah, he got hit on Sunday too, and he was
Sunday.
He got hit on Sunday too. He was like limping for like 30 yards.
I didn't see it in that game.
Yeah, it was
box scores.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But I mean, you look at their loss too to the Colts. Their leading rusher had 23 yards.
The Colts?
No, the Chiefs.
The Chiefs, man. Well,
he needs help.
You need help on the ground, or they're going to know
that
you're passing.
He did go 22 of 39, but at some point, it's pretty obvious that you're going to start passing all the time if your leading rusher has 23 yards.
Yeah.
And on that case, Brissett didn't have a great game either. He went 18 of 29 with an interception for 151 yards.
They were dogging each other that game. That was a gritty game because the score stayed a lot lower than you thought. I know a lot of people see the Chiefs are playing the Colts, and they're like, oh, shit, I'm taking the over. But that was definitely a game that shook some shit up. No, yeah, Mahomes gets an A.
Russell Wilson.
A.
I gave him an A.
This
is where it falls down to I can't give Brady an A because Russell Wilson's carried this offense.
No, and you look at if the Steelers actually do something with one of those five turnovers, you look at that division. They're right there with the Niners at 4-1.
That's why Mark Madden was so mad at Juju.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's why. But
I mean, you look at who the Seahawks played. It was the Saints, which they lost. They beat the Rams, which I would say is their most impressive win right now.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't played anybody incredibly, you know, talented, in my opinion. The Bengals, the Steelers, the Saints, the Cardinals, and the Rams. But
yeah.
Russell Wilson is yet to throw an interception. He looks incredible. And I would like to take this moment to apologize to Russell Wilson for saying that Patrick Mahomes is better at being Russell Wilson than Russell Wilson is at being Russell Wilson.
Someone go find that sound.
Sometimes you're wrong when you do this. I've probably been wrong 10 times this episode already.
I've been wrong before. Everyone knows that shit. It's like my trademark.
I'm going to give him an A because he's carried this team.
No, he's been phenomenal.
He's been nothing. The throw to Lockett the other day, on Thursday, not the other day. That was 6 days ago now.
the other day. Incredible. Almost a full week from now, the other day.
He threw it to Metcalf and got a touchdown because Metcalf's on my fantasy team, so thank you for that. I still lost. Thanks, Adam. But, you know, he's done a phenomenal job.
I think he's doing great.
And in a year where everyone said he has no weapons, he has nobody to help him win.
And he's making it work.
It doesn't matter. I'm going to go out there and make it happen myself. He's done a great job.
Now, and Chris Carson had some bad weeks too. So who picks up the slack when the running game goes to shit? Russell Wilson can do both.
DK Metcalf.
DK Metcalf. Russell Wilson can also rush.
Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, Jadeveon. Clowney gives me nightmares because of what he did. I still remember when he was at, South Carolina?
Yeah.
Popped the helmet right off of, who was it? I can't remember the name.
That guy
who played running back for Michigan that one year. Popped the helmet right off, and that was just brutal. As soon as he got the ball, I think Robinson handed him the ball, and he got his head taken off. That's my burning image of Clowney just popping the helmet off that guy. But
yeah, Russ gets an A.
No, Russ is,
no way you don't give him an A. That leads us to the hottest topic in the National Football League.
Baker.
The one and only.
Baker.
Baker Mayfield, who we gave a D.
Yeah.
4 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. Oh, and you're probably wondering.
Listen, buddy.
You gave Josh Allen a C+. What's that supposed to mean? He has more interceptions than touchdowns. Well, at least Josh Allen's looked kind of promising and had flashes and has played fairly decently despite the interception numbers.
I'll throw this out just right now real quick. Just popped into my head right now. Can we credit the struggles of like Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham Jr., and third receiver on that team. What is his name? Can't think of it, but can we talk about like the struggles of the receiving core? Is that credited directly to Mayfield at this point? Or is that something completely on their own?
I wish I had a good answer.
I don't have a good answer for that either. That's why I'm asking.
I think
the
Odell
questions.
Beckham's I love Odell Beckham, but he's done nothing.
No. Well, I saw that punt return.
And you
return.
Watched that punt return, and you're thinking, what the hell are you doing, buddy?
Also,
Landry's 30th since when does
like a top tier receiver in the NFL hold the ball in one hand? Like, that's just, again, I'm not here to criticize, but that's just poor ball security when you've got 4 guys around you looking to swat that out.
Don't get Jack started on ball security.
Because ball security is, in fact, job security, but we can talk about that all day.
He goes 8 for 22 for 2 interceptions. A QBR of 1.4.
When a guy's got negative 2 fantasy points, it's not a good sign. The fact that you need him just to get 4 or 5 points, not just, you know, taking only the fantasy route on this, but, like, say you need 5 points, and you're like, oh, Baker's playing tonight. He'll get me, like, 8, no doubt. Like,
yeah.
He's got to get over 8.
You have
that
security blanket.
Yeah.
You're like,
he gets negative 2. You end up losing by 7 if you're down 5. It's
– Jarvis
you have a lot of people criticizing this year saying, you know, like, oh, the Browns will catch their stride, the Browns will catch their stride. If something doesn't change with him and his accuracy, his decision-making, saw earlier – watching Joel Klatt on Colin Coward talking about stepping up in the pocket, how Baker has yet to
Colin
do that.
Coward.
Is he still thinking like in a college mindset where he can run all over the place and make throws?
I wanted to make the excuse his line's not good, and that is a viable excuse, but he's just not even close sometimes, and his decision-making's boneheaded.
No,
and I love Baker Mayfield. I want him to succeed. He's one of my favorite players.
I actually enjoy watching Baker play, but not like this.
But I have this. But it got to the point to where he built him up so much that now I think it's laughable that he's just shit the bed as much as he has.
Mm-hmm.
But I like him, and I want him to succeed. But this isn't even a sophomore slump.
Mm-hmm.
This is just concerning.
Again, it's a decline that you might have expected a little bit of a decline, but not this much. This
exactly.
is like... The wheels are falling off quickly,
and
so someone's got to fix this shit.
At the beginning of the year, I don't know if I said it, but he did set the rookie record for touchdowns, but he still threw, I believe, double-digit interceptions last year. And that was something he needed to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still a turnover machine right now, and this time he's not throwing the touchdowns to make up for it, despite having guys like Odell Beckham Jr. on his roster now.
And it's nuts that his
He targeted Beckham 6 times Monday and completed 2 of them.
it's nuts that his completion rating has dropped 10%.
Yeah.
That's another nutty thing. Just in a year, like, people are – again, and they wanted to give – again, just to touch on it quick, they wanted to give them the crown in the offseason. They wanted to say, yeah, the Browns are going to the Super Bowl. You got people getting tattoos and shit. You hadn't seen them play a game. And people were already saying Super Bowl champs,
and
like, they're playoff
goes,
bound.
Oh, it's the Browns. They'll find a way to mess it up. And I didn't believe it at that point.
Browns are the Browns.
I said, hell no. This is going to be different, and it's been and there's time to turn it around.
Yeah, prove
that division
these people
sucks.
Wrong.
There's time to turn it around.
It can very well be their division.
It could be, and maybe
it's the worst division in football.
But I feel like I don't even know that like he hyped it up too much, as I've talked about before, and now maybe he's got pressure on himself in his own head from the hype he created for himself, and now it's just all spiraling out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a stat for you. Baker Mayfield's completion percentage is 55.9 right now. There's two other quarterbacks in the top 35 that are under 60%. Cam Newton and Josh Rosen.
Josh Rosen's played, what, a game? Two games?
I think he's appeared in a couple. I'm not sure how many he's actually. That's the thing, though.
I know that Cam's been in, like, two games. He's been
yeah,
hurt.
Yeah, obviously they're Clowin both hurt, not over. Starters, but still.
Yeah, I don't know. I
everybody
think
that's playing on a regular basis, aside from Mayfield, is over 60%.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, 69 point
yeah.
greater than 5 or 68.9, something at least around 70.
Yeah, I think
or
we,
60, I should
I
say.
Think we can just leave this one at if something doesn't change.
It's concerning right
it's
now.
It's very concerning because this was supposed to be your guy. But...
And if you're Cleveland, you're going, here we go again, in
yeah,
my opinion.
Which is crazy. And, like, all the Manziel shit just comes into full circle.
I don't like that comparison.
I don't like that comparison either, but...
I think Mayfield's a lot more serious about getting better, but
yeah.
that's not translating, obviously. Nah. But he gets a D in my book, and...
Yeah, sober Manziel.
So, that brings us to who's the NFL MVP right now.
We both said...
It's
both
McCaffrey
said,
or Russell Wilson in my book.
McCaffrey's been out.
McCaffrey without Cam Newton, who everyone thinks is basically done, at least as a Panther.
Clowin came in and just took the job.
Oh, boy. To the house reference.
I told you guys, Clowin, you got to watch out
Listen,
for Clowin.
You have... I don't know how... I don't know who else you give it to. McCaffrey's put that offense on his back, and Wilson's done the same in their respective teams. Do you want to say Mahomes again? Gallo does, and I respect that opinion. But in my opinion, the MVP goes to the guy that puts the team on his back.
It's a guy who
represents what that team is, and he goes out there and kicks ass.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's been Christian McCaffrey single-handedly making the Panthers' offense work and function, and Russell Wilson doing the same thing. Patrick Mahomes has weapons around him. He has Tyreek Hill. I almost said Kareem Hunt. He has Travis Kelce. He has guys. Obviously, they need someone to get them the ball. But he has guys that are playmakers. They can get open. You know?
Doesn't have as much.
Tyler Lockett. He lost Doug Baldwin. And I'm not going to disrespect Tyler Lockett because I like Tyler Lockett. He's still a pretty good receiver.
Mm-hmm.
But
your next best guy is Metcalf, and it's his first year in the NFL.
It's a rookie, in my opinion at least. I think what he's doing is incredible. I think McCaffrey, you know, he has a Super Bowl quarterback, former Super Bowl quarterback, you know, go out. And he stepped right up to the plate and had 3 touchdowns last week. And he's, you know, has what, more yards than Gurley and, what is it, Gurley and Fournette combined or something?
Yeah.
It's incredible what he's done. It's absolutely incredible.
No, I agree with you on that 100%.
It has to go to one of them right now.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is all early. All of these things we've talked about for this first half hour of the show have been way
too
early.
We're five games deep.
For retrospect, the Cardinals started off 4-0 a couple years ago, and they ended up going 4-12.
Was it
5 games?
A lot is subject to change right now.
There's a lot of material in this episode where you can go back and over winter break go, Nick, why the hell did you say this?
Yeah, exact same for me. Again, everything's subject to change, especially this and this far into the season.
And now, as Steelers fans, we're going to make this quick because Gallo has to go soon.
Let's talk about Mason Rudolph blacking out just as quickly as possible.
I was in the newsroom.
Mm-hmm.
The stranded offices.
The stranded offices.
I had a very Important business-related phone call about some sponsors that were unhappy about how the Stranded Bowl turned out. And I was on the phone with them, and I see Mason Rudolph scrambling. And I go, he's got to get rid of that damn ball. Because he, like, evaded two people, and then he slings the ball, and I see him get bumped from behind.
You saw the guy come from behind.
And then I saw Earl Thomas kind of running at him. And I go, okay, he's fine.
Earl Thomas, not Eric Reed. Shit, that was such a bad name drop. And that is not the same person whatsoever. I'm so sorry.
The camera follows the ball. I think it was Washington makes the catch. Go, hell yeah. Like, that was a really good job. Like, Ben Roethlisberger couldn't have moved like that in his current state. Well, current state makes it sound like elbow brace, Ben. Ben Roethlisberger, healthy at whatever age he is, 38 or whatever, couldn't have moved like that in the pocket the way Rudolph did to avoid getting the sack.
No.
They pan back to Rudolph.
And he's limp.
My reaction, I said this, and this is why I'm worried I can't be a play-by-play announcer. I was with a bunch of people in the newsroom, and I go, he's dead. Because and
that's what I said. I was at the island.
They pan back to him, and his arm is like half in the air, and I go, oh, my God, Mason Rudolph's dead.
That's the first thing I said.
And I said it as a – I said it – I don't want to say as a joke to make it sound like I was being rude or anything, but, like, I said it thinking he's going to get back up. He just took a big hit, and the wind's knocked out of him. I did not think – we would spend 5 minutes thinking maybe he's paralyzed.
Yeah.
Because I thought there's no way he got hit that hard.
I didn't think it – like, originally, I didn't think he got hit that hard either, but it was just kind of the way that
the
helmet came up
and hit.
And the
off the ground.
Yeah.
Too.
It was the impact of the head after he went limp. I was like, oh, that doesn't look good at all. That's a grass field. And at Heinz, it's not turf. So there's not a lot of – give back when you go down there, but I don't know. That was scary. Then the cart doesn't work. Rudolph has to walk off, but he kept saying like I'm good, and he walked off. I like the new trend of how as soon as there's a head like a head injury, the face mask comes off. I think that's kind of new. I didn't see that last year for a lot of this.
I read what they did that for, and I can't remember what it is now, and I'm going to get really mad when I Google it after the show.
Yeah, I don't know, but hey, it made for some lighthearted jokes in the aftermath.
What did you think of people making fun of it?
People making fun of it? They're not really making fun of the scenario. They're making fun of the image.
Okay, that's fair.
So it's not a matter of, hey, look at this idiot who got knocked out. It's,
yeah.
It's this looks wacky as fuck. Like,
right.
Because it looks wacky. Like, the first, like, I was at the island, and whoever I was with said, people are going to meme the hell out of that image of him with no face mask. Because it just looks like sick bike helmet. Like, it kind of just looks, it's weird. It makes you think I've never seen a football helmet without the face mask. But that was just scary. But that was one part of the game. The second part of the game that a lot of other people had a larger problem with was the fumble in overtime where Juju caught the ball, took two steps, and then had it punched out. I don't blame him. I don't know if that could have been avoided other than having the ball anywhere else in his running motion.
I thought it was a great play by the defender.
I thought it was a good play by the defender, too.
There was
he
also
went right,
calls that
he
didn't have possession.
Well, no, and he made direct contact with the ball while tackling. That's hard to do in itself. Maybe it was just – I think it was just a weird timing thing. Like, shit happens. But people are mad because they're like, Juju's fumbled in two games, and it's, like, affected the Steelers' season and everything. I understand that.
You're an idiot if you think they have a chance to do anything this year. I'm sorry.
Look – everyone's
their
saying this is a 6-10.
Their schedule's way too hard for a team with second and third string quarterbacks, subpar coordinators, and a subpar running back committee, which one of them is hurt now.
Yeah.
And a subpar receiving core, aside from Juju. And now Washington's hurt, and Samuels is hurt. They're not going to do anything. So quit acting like he fumbled away this golden opportunity.
People
last
are like, oh,
year,
we'd be at the top
argument.
Of the division. We'd be at the top of the division. How long would they stay there?
Last year, I'll give you the argument. But they also lost to the Oakland Raiders and Denver Broncos last year.
That's what I'm saying. It says
everyone wants a scapegoat. And I understand it looks bad him not going to practice and showing up in Fortnite dancing with people. And I understand you want to blame that guy. But don't make this guy hate the city because he's a talented player. And he's a guy that, frankly, that receiving, you know, he needs to be on this team right now. They're losing weapons left and right.
It's going to take him about another year to figure out being number one wide receiver. This shit doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
It's going to take the duration of this entire season, maybe a little bit of the next season,
for him
to really be
too.
A true wide receiver one. I'm not taking anything away from Juju. I'm just saying, I'm calling it how I'm seeing it. And people are mad that he's not already like AB-esque in talent. They're saying he's AB-esque in his off-field antics, which I don't full-on buy into, because I think what AB did off the field was a lot worse than this shit. And if you think that any of the other young Steeler players throughout the years haven't gone and partied on the weekends, I'm sorry, but please take off your Homer blindfold and the Steeler way blindfold and take off those lenses so you can see life for what it is. These guys are young human beings. They're going to go have fun on their weekends because they've got the money to do it and they can do whatever the fuck they want on their own time. Granted, you're like, if I was in that position, I'd be catching balls. I'd be doing this, doing that.
No, you wouldn't.
Okay, yeah, sure. Give me that bullet. Go. I'll give you the same amount of money. You can keep that moral high ground of yours you love to fucking sit on.
That got a lot more emotional on both of our ends.
I'm just saying, like, you're going to knock this guy for going and having fun. You'd be doing the same shit, so don't give me that. Don't give me that.
All right. You know what we are going to give? Tyler Gallo a chance to talk baseball before he has to leave. Gallo, I see you telling us to hurry up, and I'm sorry. We're not going to have as much time as we would have liked unless you want to stay a couple extra minutes before you have to bail.
Just let him Gallo, get good after it now. Gallo, if anything, we're going to cut Hawkins short, like we always do.
Gallo, Glasnow, and Cole.
Can you imagine if those two players were on the same team?
Yeah.
Wow, thanks. Didn't want to think about that.
Jack
no, but
is pacing.
That's a pretty marquee matchup if I've ever heard one. I mean, great game last night by the Rays. Their pitchers absolutely just got in there, threw strikes, and got the game over with. That was pretty much simple. And the Rays are taking it to a game five. Who thought we would have said that after the second game of the series? But, yeah, it's going to be an exciting matchup. You know, Garrett Cole is one of the best fucking pitchers in the league. Strikes out everybody. And Glasnow is a great up-and-comer. So, I'm excited to see this. One of the best other pitchers in the league.
Who wins?
That's tough, but I honestly have to go with the Astros. I don't think they lose at home. They won 60 games at home this year. There's no chance they lose.
That's a fair point, Gallo.
Yeah. So, I mean, and the series isn't over until the home team loses, as they always say.
Do you think the Yankees with the extra rest?
Extra rest is, I feel like, a bit of a misnomer because extra rest hasn't always been the best helper for teams in the past. Teams have gotten extra rest and got absolutely destroyed in the next round. So, and speaking of getting destroyed, the Braves got absolutely destroyed by the Cardinals earlier today. A 10-run first inning. How about that? The inning could have been over without a Freddie Freeman error, but Mike Foltynewicz lost 10 runs in the first inning. I mean...
A lot of people said Atlanta was a surprise team to compete with the Dodgers if it got to that point.
They had a good offense. I mean, I'm not knocking them. I mean, Josh Donaldson came out of fucking nowhere and hit 30 home runs for the team, and they took a flyer on him. It was a good idea. You know, they had good pitching, good
juiced
offense.
Juiced balls, rejuvenating careers since the 90s.
Yeah, but I'm pretty happy that the Braves aren't in it in the NLCS, and I'm hoping that the Dodgers pull it out against the Nationals tonight. And they are right now up 3-0.
The thing with the Cardinals is... Even when you think they're going to have a down
year. You don't bet against the Cardinals when they're in the playoffs.
And that's something I've learned rather quickly in my life, and I still hold it true to this day. They have guys on that team stepping up that I've never
heard of. Tommy Edman?
Exactly. That's who the urinating tree mentioned.
That's got Daniel Descalso written all over it for that team. But, it's just... I love to see the Braves getting destroyed because... As a Mets fan, you don't want to see your team, your rivals go to the World Series. And by the way, the Mets are the last NL East team to win a playoff series.
I don't want to see the Yankees go to the World
Series.
Yeah,
that's one thing I don't want.
Nobody does, because
if
the
Yankees and Dodgers go to the World Series,
I am not
promise you right
watching
now,
a single
I'm not
game.
Watching a single pitch. That is a guarantee.
This is the only decade the Yankees haven't been
those
in the World Series.
Those are the only two teams I would have that rule for. Maybe if the Cubs squeaked in there. While we have you here, Gallo, as if you're a guest and not a normal member of the show, Madden and the Angels intensifying their talks. That's basically set in stone.
Yeah.
Sam mentioned
and
it
hey,
last week.
The Mets are interviewing some guys today too. Carlos Beltran actually is one of those, and then they got another guy. I think his name is something Bell, and then Joe Girardi. Yeah, Josh Bell.
As a
Joe
Mets
Girardi.
Fan, who do you want to see?
Girardi.
Girardi.
Yeah, because he's been able to.
Do you think the Subway Series? you know, rivalry is intensified by that.
I think so. And even Brian Cashman, the general manager for the Yankees himself, said it would be nice to see him on the Mets. But honestly, I think it's Joe or bust at this point, because he's been able to handle the media and all that in New York. And I think he's a perfect fit for the Mets. And I think you hire maybe Beltran as a bench coach. I don't think he's ready to manage yet. But yeah, I think that's a good good pick for manager there.
Well, Gallo, thank you for that. We also have the MLB sucks at promoting, but we've addressed that numerous times on this show. And ESPN doesn't help them by tweeting out Shaq and Damian Lillard disses in the middle of an MLB playoff.
Yeah, like
game.
I love how that's taking a backseat to October baseball.
It's pathetic.
Shaq and Dame just throwing diss tracks at each other.
My goal with this podcast is to not have it be another, they talk about the NBA and NFL. Obviously, we're going to hit those first because they're what people want to listen to. Nothing sells like football that's in season. But, I mean, it's pathetic.
So are we going to pull out a Who Are You People before I head out?
We can. We can indeed. Luke Yost, former Stranded member, is in the studio. What is Luke Yost doing here? Luke Yost, what do you have to say to the people?
Oh, nothing. I'm just going to say that I will be back for the anniversary.
Well, we were going to save that announcement till the end, but forget it.
Hey, I feel like it's better coming from me, though.
October 30th is the two-year anniversary of Stranded.
A pack of Marlboro.
I was going to rip a dart, but I don't have a lighter.
Luke Yost walks in with a pack of Marlboros, plugs that he's going to be on the show, and that...
Hey, listen, none of y'all can say anything, because I've been here since it was called The Exchange.
I'm not saying shit.
Luke Yost comes in and flexes. Luke, we look forward to having you.
I'm also the graphics guy, the air quotes graphics
guy. Luke Yost made a phenomenal graphic today that you will see shortly, but October 30th, I believe, is the date. The Stranded
October
30th? I believe it's the 30th.
The Halloween Eve?
The October 30th show is the two-year anniversary of Stranded. Luke Yost, the original, you know, co-host with myself.
Saturday
He'll be here
at like 10 a.m.
We're going to have a great time. We're probably going to have to rotate some people through. We're going to have some friends stop by. It's going to be a good time.
Be a party.
So, Yost, thanks for coming in and plugging that.
You're welcome.
We will. Maybe you'll make another cool graphic for all we know.
We'll see.
The one that you made for me today is not going out till November, so I'm really sorry.
That's fine, though. It's upcoming.
We have a couple other things to promote until that point, but.
Like the Nick Hedrick.
Yes, the Nick Hedrick cancer fundraiser, which we will talk about once we iron out the deal. He's called a cancer party?
The official name now is the Nick Hedrick cancer party thing.
I don't know what the name of it is.
Well,
is that the first time anyone's had a cancer party?
Time out.
No.
Basically, Luke Yost just came in, and a bunch of things we were keeping sitting on until we finally ironed out all the details. He's just going to be
just blowing through.
But is anyone listening at 42 minutes in is the real question.
So here's the deal. We're also going to be doing a fundraiser on the 6th-year anniversary of me beating cancer. RME Radio is helping us out because though we're not live on RME Radio because we swear and we like our swears.
I love my swears.
They still help us out. They still promote us. We like working with all of them. We love the people in charge of RME Radio. So we are going to be doing something. I believe the money's going to go to the Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh. We'll give you more on that once we figure out what to do, how to donate, and all that jazz. But stay tuned for that. And stay tuned for this new segment, which is not new. It's the third installment of Who Are You People?
All right. At that, I'm going to leave now.
Thank you, Luke.
I don't feel like playing.
I hope you find the lighter that you've been looking for. You're the light of
my
life.
He's in my car, actually. Maybe. We'll see. Gallo, I just got a question. How about those Mets, brother?
Oh, no.
God.
We were doing so well.
He slipped it in.
We were doing so well.
On the night Ray's not here. God damn.
All right, I'm just going to fucking say it. He knows no shit about baseball, so I'm going to leave it at that.
Oh, boy.
Let's get into Who Are You People so I can get the fuck out of here.
Oh, fuck.
Don't feel like we're holding you hostage.
Oh, no, you're not. It's just I'm sick and tired of the Mets slander.
Let's get it rolling.
All right. His career high. This is NHL.
Yeah.
NHL. I didn't realize the teams he played. Career high in points was 69.
Nice.
He played for the Devils, the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, and the Anaheim Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
He played from 91-92 season to the 09-10 season. He's a Hall of Famer and a four-time Stanley Cup winner.
I got this.
And he's the 06-07 Conn Smythe
winner. I got this. This is – Jack, I want to let you go first, but I know who this is.
I didn't – I knew this guy, and I remembered him playing for the Ducks. I don't remember him playing for the Devils. And then the minute I saw he played for the Devils, I was already too deep and said,
You said 05, 06 cup winner?
06, 07 Conn Smythe winner.
Okay.
Four-time cup winner.
J.S. Jaguar.
No.
Am I getting that year wrong?
One of the sweetest.
69 points? Isn't he a goalie?
Oh, fuck. Wait, I completely slipped my mind. All right, go ahead. I don't
keep in mind,
time out.
If Gallo gets this right, he's gotten two of these right. The first one didn't count because it was a second guess. But that's still two people that he remembers that most people.
One of the sweetest skating defensemen of all time, I believe. And one of the best players in Devils history, that is Mr. Scott Niedermeyer.
And Gallo, you are correct.
I didn't want to say Niedermeyer. I didn't know Niedermeyer only had 69 career points.
It doesn't seem like
career
it, but he was
high.
A very low-key good player.
Oh,
career
my
high
God. I
69.
Thought you meant fucking career. Oh, my God. My brain's in a fucking blender today.
He gets
was gonna say Niedermeyer. I was like, there's no way Niedermeyer only had 69 points his career. I didn't listen
that's
to that
a surprise
sentence.
To me too.
Fuck.
Honestly, like, he was one of the best defensemen in his era, like one of the best skating.
Well, no, that's a really good season for a defenseman. 60,
yeah,
like over
oh yeah
points.
He won
fuck.
A Norris, I believe
he did.
Yeah,
he
but
did.
That
was
one
the sixth
holy fuck
that got cut.
That one's dumb. Not gonna go over my head.
Gallo, congratulations.
Clinton Portis, baby.
I'm really happy for you, Tyler Gallo. And I'm happy for Jack, because now it's time to talk some NHL. All
right, guys.
Fuck
well,
yeah.
Once again, it's a pleasure, as always. I'm going to jet out and head to practice. I'll
Gallo,
see you guys next Wednesday.
Good luck tonight. Have a great practice.
Right. Thank
Thanks
you.
For stopping by.
In the meantime. It's hockey time with just me. And Nick, if he wants to jump on in, because I've got some shit up here.
The Penguins are okay, because Hornquist is healthy.
Shut the fuck up.
Yikes.
Look, for all the people pissing their pants about the Penguins, I just want to say, we're three games in. Malkin and Bukestad are out long-term. Malkin's going to be out at least a month. If you want this team to be good, you're going to need Evgeny Malkin in the lineup. So how about you just hold on to your fucking belt buckle before you start pissing everywhere? Just wait for the month to be over.
The
they have
Cup
time to recover.
The Stanley Cup champions last year were last place in January. It is not January right now. It is three games into this season.
Good point made by Nick.
They played a talented team in the Jets. They won a game against
the
Columbus Blue Jackets.
Well, no, the Jets.
Who beat the Lightning in the playoffs last year.
All right, yeah, but I'm pretty sure that I could have went out and beat the Lightning because, fuck, all I would have done is went out and called
Stamkos. We're talking about them later.
Anyways.
Notice I said we.
Anyways, exactly. Look, I want to pull up a tweet. Granted, the Jets aren't the best team. I'll say that. But if you hear what Mike Sullivan had to say after the game, he did say the score was not indicative of how the game was played, which he's right. Because honestly, on the Ehlers goal, I don't know what the fuck Murray's looking at. He just kind of let it go by him. Granted, he was probably screened by Pettersson, and I understand that because I screened my goalie before in the past. Noah, if you're listening, I'm sorry about that. But
does he follow us on Twitter?
Maybe. I don't know.
There's
I think.
A Noah that follows us on Twitter.
Probably.
Shout out to you, Noah.
Shout out to Noah.
Twitter if you made it this far into this episode.
Love you. But
I
no, these
too.
Are these were the Jets defensemen. Last night? Yeah, last night. Sammy Nikku, Carl Dahlstrom, Neil Pionk, Ville Heinola, Anthony Betetto, and Tucker Pullman. Those are six defensemen who beat the Penguins minus Malkin, Bukestad, and Rust. Granted, the Penguins dressed seven defensemen, that means 11 forwards. It means guys are going to have to double shift. You've already got one of the bigger pieces of your offense out. Also, Bukestad contributes pretty handedly defensively. Granted, I don't know if it was his line or if his line would have been out there. I didn't see much of the game. All I know is they lost 4-1, but it's three games into the season. So again, calm yourself. I know these are precious points, the points in October and November count just as much as the points in January or February, but you need to calm down. We are three games into the season. There's 82 of these fucking things. Just take a chill pill.
These little things called games.
God. But to get in this kind of transitions, Malkin and Bukestad are out long term. How much of a decline should we expect, if any? A pretty big one. I think we should expect a pretty big decline because Malkin looked decent in what I saw him. I mean, granted, he didn't even get a good sample size of what he was doing. Played one game, and then he went out in the first period of the game that I attended against Columbus. He looked good. He looked like he was flying, and then I saw him trip over Letang, and I'm always thinking, Malkin always gets hurt against the Blue Jackets. It's always something about Columbus, and he's going to get hurt. Granted, the Blue Jack didn't even touch him this time, and he went down awkwardly into the boards. Apparently, it's a lower body injury. We're never going to really know what it is until after the fact. Because hockey's weird and you got scumbags who will target injuries. like Radko Gudas and Brandon Manning. You're going to see a pretty steep decline if any. Bukestad helps out a lot defensively. You're losing a penalty kill guy there, I think, too. So that's never good. The penalty kill isn't even that great to begin with. Connor said Penguins have missed some of their stars in previous seasons for longer periods of time. When this happened, they have the ability to adapt. Players have stepped up specifically in the absence of Malkin. When Malkin's in the lineup, players have a tendency to, take a back seat or kind of like play, give a little more. I agree with that. I'm just wondering who's going to step up.
I had the same thought looking at their roster.
Yeah. Who's going to really step up? I'm looking for guys like, centers mainly because the wingers really aren't doing much. I'm looking for Galchenyuk to do something too. Again, three games in though. We're three games in. Things can change. Moving on, Stamkos on the Lightning's poor start. I think they're 1-0-2 if that hasn't changed by now. He said, quote, "We just continue to be a freewheeling team that thinks we can just come into games." Probably, I don't know. Are they 1-1-1? I don't. Maybe they lost a game in regulation. I'm not sure. But, quote, "We just continue to be the freewheeling team that thinks we can come into games and win because we're skilled." End quote. Quote, "Unless," like, quote again, "unless we change things, it's going to be a really, really, really long year." That's three reallys from your captain. But
that's really, really, really bad.
No, but it's nice to see someone with some, holding them accountable this early in.
They won against the Panthers in regulation 5-2 opening night. That's not a term in hockey. They lost to the Panthers 2 days later 4-3 in regulation. Then they lost to the Hurricanes 4-3 in overtime.
Well, here, the Panthers aren't a great team.
Well, and my thought is
the Hurricanes a blossoming team. I think the Hurricanes Stanley Cup odds just went from 16 to 1 today.
Keep in mind, I'm a casual hockey fan, and I'm going out on a limb every time I speak during these segments.
No, go ahead.
But I think the frustration comes from you had the most points in the league.
You had a record for wins last year.
You got swept in the playoffs. I think you need to come out guns blazing.
You got to prove something early on.
And the fact that they didn't and lost to the second best team in their state.
Yeah, when there's only two teams in the state.
First is them.
Yeah. It's the thing with Tampa is it's good that someone is holding them accountable early on, and it's even better that it's the captain, someone you don't hear talk a lot about the weaknesses of this team. The fact that someone addressed that they think they're like that, that might be the attitude in the locker room because you knew it was the attitude in the locker room. You could assume it was the attitude in the locker room early on in the playoffs last year. It's why they got swept. I think it's good to see this from Stamkos. Again, he's not really a vocal guy on most of this shit. He doesn't really speak out about stuff about the team negatively. So, it's cool to see that, but we'll see if that even changes because I don't know if it will. We'll see three games in. The last thing I want to touch on for now is there anyone that hates the Calgary Flames and their fans quite like Drew Doughty?
This was hysterical.
That was incredible.
I thought it was hysterical.
I love this shit.
I love
this
the
little
energy.
This little feud he has going on and has had going on with Matthew Tkachuk since Tkachuk got in the league. It's like Tkachuk just picked a guy in his conference like, "Yeah, I'm going to fuck with you the entire time, the rest of the time you have left in the league. I'm going to fuck with you specifically, and I'm going to have a blast doing it." And so far he has. I don't really know the record between those two teams. I don't know if Calgary has an edge or LA has an edge. I want to say that Calgary might have an edge in the last two seasons maybe, as this has been going on, because LA's kind of declining, and then Calgary's kind of moving up. LA always consistently has good Corsi, though, but Corsi's stupid. The fact that every time Doughty plays the Flames, everything he says before, after, it's just to piss off the fan base and piss off the players. And the fact that he ends in an overtime, immediately goes to the glass, gets flipped a double bird, and then just the fucking cross arms, suck it right to the guy,
cross chops, phenomenal.
Yeah. It's incredible. I think that can end up being a really good Pacific Division rivalry. It has been. If it continues, that's great for the league. It just gives those two teams who don't get a lot of attention nationally, it gives them a good amount of publicity. And that's that for NHL talk for now.
We lost the Stranded Bull.
I couldn't help out with that.
We lost the Stranded Bull.
I wish I could have, but I couldn't.
Listen, we had the lead. we lost the lead. Didn't go well. It wasn't the result.
Some key plays were made.
Ray tried to run the ball 25 yards on fourth down when three people were wide open. The next possession, threw an interception. I will take some blame for that, but that was the icing on the cake at that point.
No.
We couldn't pull their flags to save our lives, and Jonah decided he was going to play like he had never played before.
That was impressive.
When all of those things happen at once, I don't know what you wanted us to do.
Also, one of them...
The thing was, we could not have played better than we did the first half.
No, that was an incredible first half.
I think I didn't have an incompletion. Everyone was wide open, or, you know, had enough space to where I didn't need to make too difficult of a throw. And it was like, we cannot play better than that. And the three plays we had where we weren't perfect were horrendous. In my
opinion. It's just a sample size of what was bad rather than the sample size of what was good. That right. gummy bear fell out of my mouth.
So to team listeners, congratulations. There's going to be a rematch. And I hope
Kyle really rallied the troops.
Kyle, being the leader that he is, you know, got them rallied. But here's some things
like Stonewall Jackson. It was incredible.
Let me tell you something about Kyle right now. let me make it clear as day.
Let me tell you something.
Let me make it clear as day. What Kyle? I know you're sitting there in your bed on fall break listening right now, and I want you to digest these words.
Fuck you for having fall break.
I want you to digest these words, Kyle. I want to preface this by saying
we don't have fall break. It's
there.
Dumb.
There are a couple people that I respect more than you. My dad, both my grandfathers, and Mr. Rogers. Okay?
Fair.
Then it's you. I respect you because you remind me a lot of myself where you're not exceptionally good at anything.
You remind me of a young me.
You're not exceptionally good at any sports, but when you play them, you're competitive as hell, and that drives you and finds you success. It found you more success than it found me success on Friday. And I congratulate you on that win. I congratulate Jed. Had a hell of a game. Jonah had a hell of a game. Who else was there? Jared and Ostrowski flip-flopped. Jared wasn't there long enough to do anything, and Ostrowski had shin splints and didn't make anyone aware of it till it was over. And Big John was there. But Kyle, let me tell you. I respect you. I respect what you did. I respect how you motivated that team. But Kyle, I never, ever, ever thought that the word coward would cross my mind when I thought of you. You're at the 3-yard line. You're on first down. You have to fall into the end zone for a touchdown. We're out of blitzes. I say, you know what? He's going to throw this ball into the end zone. He's not going to run it in with his tail tucked between his legs. But what did you do, Kyle? You tucked your tail between your legs and you ran into the end zone. Not like a real man. There was no one near you, Kyle. No one near you. The Kyle Berger I know, he wouldn't do that. He would have waited and taken all four downs and have rather turned the ball over than take the coward's way out and just run it into the end zone, knowing the other team couldn't blitz per the rules we had set. So, Kyle, this is my invitation to you. I heard you.
This is like Attitude Era WWE promos.
That's exactly what I'm going for. Let me. This is my proposition, Kyle. You stayed in my apartment.
Let me tell you something.
I let you sleep on my couch, and you disrespected me by bringing up how you had beaten me earlier. You were on my couch when you said that, Kyle.
You never take a man's couch for yourself.
Listen.
And bollywop him like I'm running out of words.
I respect you like no other,
words.
Kyle. I respect you like no other.
You beat him over the head with a crisp, dead fish.
But I'm sick and tired of this notion that you're better than me all of a sudden because you won the game that I created.
Boulder Dash.
So here's what's going to happen. The next time you scoot that ass on down to Bobby Moe.
Bold and brash.
We're going to have the Stranded Wiffle Ball Home Run Derby.
I don't have anything to say.
The Stranded Wiffle Ball Home Run Derby. It's going to be a bracket just like the MLB where you go head-to-head. Listen on Tuesdays with other people, and guess who your first round matchup is, Kyle? Guess
Mazel
what?
Tov.
It's me. I'll see you later this month, Kyle, and I hope you bring your big stick, and it's not even going to be able to help you because I have the biggest stick of them all, Kyle. This has been Stranded.
Theodore
we'll see you next
Roosevelt.
Week.